neglect the poor humans. By such neglect, a brahmana's spiritual power diminishes, just as water kept in a cracked pot leaks out. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Brahmanas, the topmost section of society, are mostly devotees. They are generally unaware of the happenings within the material world because they are always busy in their activities for spiritual advancement. Nonetheless, when there is a calamity in human society, they cannot remain impartial. If they do not do something to relieve the distressed condition of human society, it is said that due to such neglect, their spiritual knowledge diminishes. Almost all the sages go to the Himalayas for their personal benefit. But Prahlad Maharaj said that he did not want liberation alone. He decided to wait until he was able to deliver all the fallen souls of the world. In their elevated condition, the Brahmins are called Vaishnavas. There are two types of Brahmanas, namely Brahmana Pandit and Brahmana Vaishnav. A qualified Brahmana is naturally very learned, but when his learning is advanced in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes a Brahmana Vaishnav. Unless one becomes a Vaishnav, one's perfection of Brahminical culture is incomplete. The saintly persons considered very wisely that although King Vena was very sinful, he was born in a family descending from Dhruva Maharaj. Therefore, the semen in the family must be protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Keshava. As such, the sages wanted to take some steps to relieve the situation. For want of a king, everything was being disturbed and turned topsy-turvy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Maditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gadim Yot Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Guru Ninataranam Paramanam Namaravam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Brahmana Samadrik Shanto Dhinanam Samupekshakaha Shravate Brahma Tasyapi Dhina Bhandat Ayo Yata. So, in human society, there are divisions. Not that everything is one, even artificially, that cannot happen. And those divisions are according to varna and ashram. So the divisions of work are Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. So here Srila Prabhupada is saying, the Brahmanas, they're the topmost section of human society. And mostly, these Brahmins are devotees of the Lord. So, the main concern of the topmost section of society as devotees of the Lord is devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering about Krishna, serving the form of the Lord in the temple, worshiping the lotus feet of the Lord, offering prayers. This is the concern of the topmost section of society. So generally, they're not so much concerned with what's going on in the material world because of their busy schedules serving Krishna. Right? And they also realize that really the material world is always in a flux, it's always changing, so it doesn't really so much matter in one sense. Just like India now is going to have elections, right? So there's so much news about the upcoming Lok Sabha elections, and the parties are aligning themselves. You know, they're dumping their alliances, taking on new alliances, you know, all kinds of political wrangling is going on. But the devotees aren't much interested in these things. They're busy serving Krishna. But here we see the Prabhupada says, in the similar situation that the Brahmins were in, is that if there's a calamity in society, they can't just ignore it. They can't remain impartial. Right? Impartial means you don't care one way or the other. But they do care. They want to care. They care for the benefit of everyone. They want to see that in human society, people can be spiritually progressive. That's their concern. And this verse goes on. The Brahmins were thinking, and Srila Prabhupada also explains, that if you can't be impartial. As a devotee of the Lord, someone who's concerned with one's own progressive spirituality and of others, we have to be concerned. We have to be considerate of others' situation and their development. If we neglect that, so the example is given here of a bhandat, bhina bhandat, right? You may try to store up your spiritual knowledge, and generally speaking, that's what Brahmana pandits do. They're very concerned about acquiring knowledge and being having a large stock of knowledge. But here, that knowledge is described, the Brahmins are considering that if we don't take care of the general populace also, if we try to remain impartial and not care for what happens to them, then that Brahma Tejas, or that spiritual knowledge, will leak out like water in a cracked pot. Right? We all have experience in India of, especially in the summertime, people keep water in a clay pot. Because if you keep water in a nice clay pot, it stays very cool. No matter how hot it is outside, the water from that clay pot is very, very cool. Right? But if the clay pot has a crack in it, the water leaks out. Right? And no matter how much you try to fill it, you'll come back to get a drink of water, and all the water will be gone. Right? So this example is there for those who simply want to worry about themselves and not be concerned with others' development. Right? The Brahmins are considering that it's part of their duty to also be concerned. And so therefore they shouldn't neglect the situation. And the situation was that King Vena, he was killed by the Brahmins, and after his death, the rogues and the thieves became very powerful and very prominent and created a lot of distress and harassment to the people. Right? That was the situation. So normally, I mean, if the Brahmins wanted to, they could have just, by their tejas, Brahma tejas, they have power, just by their wish, they killed King Vena. They said, "Be gone." And he fell down dead. That's powerful. There was no lethal injection. There was no electric chair. They didn't need a rope to hang him. They just said, "Be gone." And he was dead. So they could have done the same thing with the thieves and the rogues. But they'd figured, that's not our duty. It's not our duty as Brahmins to do those kind of activities. Right? Our duty as Brahmins is to be engaged in spiritual progress, to be engaged in devotional service. But then they also began to think that it's also not good to neglect the situation. So this is the conclusion that they're coming to. So one might think, well, what's our situation? Here we are in Kali Yuga. There's no spiritual government. There's no king. There's no head. There's no difference between the rogues and the government. They're all the same. Huh? Isn't it? The government has become so corrupt that you can't tell the difference. The so-called underworld, they give regular donations to the so-called government officials, and they're all in one great nexus. So what to do? So we should form a political party and try to get elected? Some devotees tried that once. They called it the In God We Trust Party in America. But by that activity, the devotees, they got into trouble because they found themselves, I mean, Rupa Nuga Prabhu, he was one of the main leaders, him and Balavanta Prabhu, in the In God We Trust Party. And Balavanta, he ran for as the mayor of Atlanta City. He ran, you know, to become the mayor of Atlanta City in Georgia. He didn't get elected, needless to say. But the devotees found that they got so caught up in the political, you know, rhetoric and the political realm that they found themselves more interested to read Time magazine than the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then they realized, oh, we're in trouble. Right? So Srila Prabhupada says, you can go for the big fish, but don't get wet. Right? So it may not be advisable. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions in an earlier purport that the way the devotees effect a change in society is to get as many people as possible to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. In this way, one can make an effective change. In people's individual lives and society as a whole. So our program is fashioned after the program of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chant Hare Krishna and form as many Sankirtan parties as possible that distribute the holy name, disseminate transcendental knowledge, and give people an opportunity to become elevated. There may be a time, there may come a time, but it's certainly not now, that devotees will be in charge. Right? We'll have saintly persons in charge of the government. But we're far away from that now. I remember one time some devotees in New Zealand, actually they were from a splinter group of ISKCON. There was one devotee named Siddha Sarup, and he was like already a guru before he became a follower of Srila Prabhupada. And he had many followers in Hawaii. He was an American, but he surrendered to Prabhupada. But his followers never really became incorporated in ISKCON very much, right? And they always had their own programs for trying to spread Krishna consciousness. So one time in New Zealand, these followers of Siddha Swarup, they had an idea that they would blow up the butcher shops. And they were making bombs to blow up the butcher shops. Now that's not exactly our program, right? But they felt that that was something that would be good to do. And while they were making some bombs, some devotees got hurt. They blew up in their face and they got hurt. Yeah. So it's always important to follow the acharya. It's always important to follow the authorized instructions from the acharya. Then you'll be safe, right? You'll be safe in your own Krishna consciousness, and you'll be safe in presenting Krishna consciousness to others. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions a verse from another part of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prahlad Maharaj is offering prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. And he says here that Prahlad said that he did not want liberation alone. He decided to wait until he was able to deliver all the fallen souls of the world. So that I thought I'd read that particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam and its purport, because it's a very, very powerful verse and purport. This is from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 9, text number 44. Prayena deva munayasva muktikama monam charanti vijane na parartanishta naitam vihaya kripanam vimuksha eko nanyam tvada sha sharanam brahmato nupashye. Translation. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mona Brat. They're not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Purport. This is the decision of the Vaishnava, a pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in the material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement can even go to hell and still be happy. A Krishna conscious person can even go to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Naivo dvije para duratteya vaitaranya. O best of all great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in the incondition of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 17, text 28. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana vibhyati svarga apalarga narkeshu apituliyarta darshanaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planets and in being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotee is not understood by karmis and jnanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment, and Jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He's not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that one may show that he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activity. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he's interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness, because that's the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Na yam tvat asya sharanam brahmatu nupasye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, no one can be happy. One wanders within this universe life after life, but by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home back to Godhead. That's the real target in life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, where only one will make a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. So, Prahlad Maharaj many times is eulogized by Srila Prabhupada for having this particular mood of wanting to make everyone in the world happy by becoming Krishna consciousness. So, the other day someone asked me, well, you know, we're supposed to avoid association of people in the lower modes of passion and ignorance, right? And keep association with devotees. But for preaching, you know, we meet all these people. So, what to do? And the answer is that if we're meeting all these people, as Prahlad Maharaj's sect suggests, with the idea of to try to them make them fortunate by giving them Krishna consciousness, then we'll be giving them our association. We won't be taking their association. Right? That's the secret. We're giving our association. Through that empowerment from Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. And in that way, we won't become affected by their association. Sometimes if we're preaching, we may meet very opulent people that have opulent situations, right? And we may become bewildered and think, oh, these people are very rich. These people are very rich, right? And we might even become a little envious. Oh, I wish I was rich like that. Okay? So we have to become protected from such a mentality. And Srila Prabhupada describes that actually such people, although they look like they're materially opulent, actually they're very, very poor. They're dinanam. The word here in this verse is dinanam. They're poor. They're poor people. Okay? Why are they poor? Because they don't have any knowledge of devotional service. They never tasted what it means to be absorbed in chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, even though they were living under a tree and they only had a loincloth, right? They were very, very rich. They were so rich in tasting and relishing the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. They're very, very opulent, even though they're living under a tree. Right? So this we should try to follow. Right? Not imitate. Don't try to imitate Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. No, you can't understand the pastimes they were diving into and drowning in. You can't understand. How will you understand? Sometimes devotees get carried away. I want to hear the intimate pastimes. I want to know the intimate. Are they, you rascal? You don't even know you're not this body and you want to hear the intimate? It's rascal love. First, become a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya sent his followers out. Go door to door and preach Krishna consciousness. Tell everyone, please, chant the holy name of Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya accepts us as his servant, when he accepts us, that's no small thing. The holy Dham and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna have a curtain. Who removes that curtain? Just because you want to hear the intimate pastimes, the curtains will be removed? No! You'll mistake it as mundane sex life. Ordinary attraction of boy and girl. Lord Chaitanya removes the curtain. We serve Lord Chaitanya in the ras of Santa and Dasya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the Navadvipa Mahatmya. That's our service. We serve Lord Chaitanya in that mood as his servant. Huh? And when he accepts us as his servant, then he removes the veil of Maya and allows us to enter into the other rasas that are there in Braj. So the prerequisite first is to become the servant of Lord Chaitanya. How to become the servant of Lord Chaitanya? Become the servant of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. What's keeping us from becoming the servant of the devotees? Our material desires, our pride, our false ego, ahankar. So we see that Prahlad Maharaj, he was completely free from this false ego, and he had this genuine concern for the benefit of all conditioned living entities. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, is trying to inculcate that mood in us as members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We need to try to understand that mood. And once we're able to take up that mood, then the Lord will be kind upon us, and we'll understand that the only way to become happy in this world is to become Krishna conscious. Right now we're not quite sure. We still think that, you know, if I just arrange things in a certain way, then I'll become happy. Right? If I just have this thing or that situation or this apartment or that car or so many different things, of course, for my service. I need it for my service. Right? I'm dovetailing it from Krishna's service, right? But I really need it, you know, for my service. You know? So, Maya has various tricks, right? Various tricks. I think I need it for my service, but actually I just want to have it for my sense gratification. Anyway, still that's better than the materialist. But we have to progress from there. We have to go another step further and really become convinced that no, no matter what I do, I'm not going to be happy in this material world, so better I try to serve Lord Krishna And I serve Lord Krishna. Not that I have some relationship with Krishna. What relationship can we have with Krishna? Of course, he's there as the Paramatma. He's always with us, right? But if we have the mood that I'm trying to serve Radha and Krishna to please Lord Chaitanya, that pleases him. Again and again it says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that one should chant the names of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Hmm? Gauranga, one should chant Gauranga. Hmm? But we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chanted the names of Krishna, and he was pleased when he saw that the other devotees were chanting the names of Krishna. So two things we can understand. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we're doing it to please Lord Chaitanya. Huh? And of course, Brajendra Nandana say, Sachi Sutta Hoyle say, Balaram Hoyle Nitai. Krishna is that Brajendra Nandana, the son of Mother Sachi. And Nityananda is Balaram. So when we're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we're also chanting the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Right? But all of our efforts should be to try to serve Lord, serve Krishna with the mood to please Lord Chaitanya, so he'll accept us as a servant, so that we can make further progress in devotional service. Now, certainly there's no question of this unless we develop that mood as Prahlad Maharaj, as Srila Prabhupada. Look at the intensity with which Srila Prabhupada served the mission of Lord Chaitanya, right? To travel all the way to America at such an advanced age, at so much inconvenience, when he was perfectly situated in his rooms in Radha Damodar in Vrindavan, right? He could have stayed there peacefully and done bhajan. Just outside the room was the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. What was the need to take so much trouble, right? To beg for a ticket, have two heart attacks on the boat, right? He said when he got off the boat, he didn't know whether to go right or whether to go left. Didn't know anyone or anything. But because he was fully dependent on the mercy of his spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya to do something for the mission of the Lord, therefore he took so much trouble. And therefore we're sitting here today discussing topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, developing this mood of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls will help us to be accepted by Lord Chaitanya as his servant. And then we'll actually make progress in spiritual life. We see here that King Vena was dead. There was no king. Things were topsy-turvy. The rogues and the thieves were becoming more and more predominant, and the sages wanted to do something. Later on we'll see that they were instrumental in bringing about a new king to rule the world. So we can also be instrumental in helping society. Krishna has come in the Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name. Goloka Eva Prema Dan, Hari Nama Sankirtan. The Lord has come in the form of the holy name. So the more we spread the holy name, the more we'll be able to bring actual piety in the lives of the living entities. And the more they'll be able to render devotional service, accept devotional service, and come to the platform of being real human beings. The people are not, you know, the so-called society is not real human society. It's so-called civilized life, but it's actually uncivilized. Prabhupada has said that a dog is running on four legs and you're running on four wheels. What is the difference? Huh? If there's not that understanding that I'm spirit soul meant to serve the Supreme Lord Krishna, then one is no better than a dog. You may have nice clothes, You may be attending party with, you know, socializing with different people, but it's just animal life, polished animal life.
Yeah.
The culture previously was in India, and now they're imitating the West, right? By drinking, eating abominable foodstuffs, having illicit sex life. Previously in India, divorce was unheard of. Now, especially in the big cities, it's becoming more and more common. One marriage, two marriage, right? Now they say the third time is the charm.
Right?
Third time you get married, that will be successful.
Right?
This is going on. All in imitation of the West. So the Krishna consciousness movement is the only hope for society to actually become civilized, human society.
Right?
It's the only hope for us to save our own spiritual life, and that is hooked up with very strongly with trying to deliver others. So if we always keep this in mind, we can certainly expect the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Prahlad Maharaj, and all the Vaishnava Parampara. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes.
The translation of Prabhupada says, by such neglect, a brahmana's spiritual power diminishes.
Yeah.
Just as water kept in a cracked pot leaks out.
Right.
Can you please elaborate on this sentence? By such neglect, a brahmana's spiritual power diminishes.
Yeah, if you see, a brahman may be thinking that it's not his duty to try to help people in spiritual life. He may be just concerned with his own spiritual advancement. So here the Brahmins are saying that's not the duty of a Brahmin. His duty is also to see to the spiritual advancement of others, to the benefit of others. And if he doesn't, then his own spiritual advancement will diminish. His own Brahmatejas, a Brahminical power, Brahminical excellence, will be reduced if he doesn't see to the welfare of others. That's the point.
Does it apply to devotees also?
It especially applies to devotees.
Devotees, they neglect some bad happenings, and will their bhakti reduce? Will their devotion reduce, diminish?
Without having that consciousness to try to benefit others, will we have any bhakti at all? What to speak of it diminishing or reducing, will we have any? If your bank balance is zero, you can't get lower than that. Okay? We're starting at zero. We're trying to get bhakti. So to not have that mood to help other people, we'll never obtain it. We'll never go anywhere. You ever seen they have these little cages where they keep a small rat, chua, or hamster, and they put him in these, looks like a little wheel, and he runs and the wheel moves, right? And he's working very hard and the wheel's moving very fast, but he's not going anywhere. He's just spinning the wheel. Right? So to render devotional service and not have this mood of trying to benefit other people, we're just spinning the wheel. It may look like we're going really fast, but we're going really fast nowhere.
Because normally devotees think when something is happening, they say, oh, this is not spiritualism, it's not concerned with Krishna consciousness, so let us not meddle with them. It's not concerned about chanting. So where is the line? Where to draw a line that we can involve or we cannot involve?
Again, the best thing is to follow the example of Srila Prabhupada. He said, do as I'm doing. Follow his example. when Krishna will from within the heart enlighten us as to how best to do it. Krishna is concerned that all the conditioned souls become liberated. They come to devotional service. That's real liberation, devotional service. So certainly he'll give us the intelligence how to do it. Right? Srila Prabhupada was staying in the house of that Dr. Mishra, the Mayavadi yogi, but then he didn't stay there. He moved down to the Lower East Side. Right? And there he was able to get a little place and start the preaching. So Krishna will enlighten us how to best spread Krishna consciousness if we have the mood, if we have the right mood. And that right mood is nothing for myself, everything for the pleasure of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. As soon as I think for myself, my lab, my puja, my pratistha, then the whole thing is ruined. Ruined. Finished. Your own devotional service, you'll just be spinning your wheel like the rat in the cage. And you can ruin the whole society also by that collective mentality. So we have to be careful. Anyavilashatashunyam. Without any other desire except to please Krishna. Pure, unalloyed devotional service, unmotivated, with any other desire except for to serve Krishna. We're not yet there, but as we go on rendering devotional service, ultimately we should know that's the goal. Not that we think, oh, you can't do it, forget it. No, that's a pessimistic attitude. Devotees are optimistic that they can reach the goal by the mercy of Krishna. It's possible. Although we're far away. We're like standing on the edge of the Arabian Sea and we want to cross the ocean to Saudi Arabia. It's so far away. How will we get there? Huh? Krishna's Kaviraj Swami says, Goswami says it's like a dog thinking that he'll swim across the ocean to obtain that goal. But even by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, a dog can swim across the ocean. Because that ocean becomes reduced to the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf by having the proper mentality, unmotivated devotional service. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna. Which is a very nice class that you were inspiring everyone to, that we all should be preaching and engaged in trying to help others. So I had this one question which came up in my mind. You were telling that Rupa suggested in some previous purport that devotees should not engage directly into politics, but rather they should just chant Hare Krishna and try to make atmosphere spiritual. But then we see this party was formed in God We Trust. So if Prabhupada was really against devotees taking part in politics, then it makes sense to understand Prabhupada would not have started it in the first place. And I came to know from Rain Swarup Prabhu that he was telling that party was stopped because there were some problems related to the tax. And devotees wanted that Prabhupada could pay from BBT, but Prabhupada was not willing to. And because of financial constraints only, Prabhupada stopped it. And in Vrindavan also we see this letter of Prabhupada which he wrote to Indira Gandhi, in which he is mentioning that there should be MPs in the parliament who should be chanting 16 rounds and there should be kirtan before the assembly. So from that we understand that Prabhupada wanted devotees to be in member of parliament and Vidhan Sabhas and all. So then how do we understand that what actually Prabhupada wanted?
Oh, if the time is right, Prabhupada never missed an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness. If the situation is conducive, then he'd be the first one to capitalize on that opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, he was also very pragmatic and understanding what the devotees were ready to do and what they weren't ready to do. You understand? And Srila Prabhupada, of course, kept the instructions of his spiritual master in the foremost of his mind, and that the best way to spread Krishna consciousness is through the sale and distribution of books. Right? So although they had the idea that money should come from the BBT to do this, pay for this political party, because in America, without money, you can't do anything in politics. Even here, the politicians in India, they get elected, and then the whole term, they're thinking about how to get money so that they can get reelected in the next election. Right? But Prabhupada said no. Why? Because it would interfere with the book production. And distributing the books is the best way to spread Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada had said, whatever advancement we've made so far in the Krishna consciousness movement has been due to the fact of the sale and distribution of these books. Right? So that's the best way. However, Srila Prabhupada never, you know, he started the roadshow. Maybe you read about the roadshow. The devotees had some rock and roll bands, and then they would attract many young people and then give them prasadam and preach to them about Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada blessed the program. But then the program ran into problems when the devotees were, you know, staying up too late and not coming to the morning program or being less Krishna conscious, or more concerned about their music than about the preaching. And then he stopped it. So the In God We Trust party was the same thing. So Prabhupada never missed an opportunity to capitalize on Krishna consciousness, but he was also very pragmatic in understanding what the devotees could do according to time, place, and circumstance, and what they couldn't. And that's the, you know, the symptom of an acharya, is that he understands how to do things and adjust things accordingly.
We see many devotees like who are grihasthas. Nowadays, everything is like ugra karma. Like you work outside, then you have to work 8 hours, and then you have to travel 2 to 4 to 5 to 6 hours. So Prabhupada writes somewhere that nowadays people don't have more than 2 hours for spirituality. So how can they make advancement? So we see that devotees engaged in money matters, like say somebody is working into shares and all. So I feel that if the devotees can rather indulge in ugra karma, it's the same thing. Either you be in politics or you be in ugra karma. Both ways you are compromising. So I personally feel that devotees can take part in politics in that way, because anyhow you have to fall trapped to the rat race. So what do you say about that?
No, I don't understand. What's the question?
I'm saying that anyhow people in the modern society, in the modern civilization, are forced to fall into ugra karma.
Yeah.
Working long hours, and so much time is consumed in travel and all.
Right.
So, does it matter that they are into politics?
They're not necessarily forced to. They're not forced to.
Yeah,
they could live in a different way if they wanted to.
That's true. So
they could live in a very different way. I'll give you an example. There was just an article that came out in some newspaper in the West about an Indian couple. They had one daughter. The daughter grew up and got married. So the nest was empty. Okay? So they had some ancestral land back in the village somewhere in Maharashtra. You know, some 2, 3, 4 acres of land they had. So they decided they were going to live on the land. They grew vegetables, they grew cotton, they grew things that they needed. They didn't grow other things. And they refused to keep electricity, and they refused to sell the extra subjis. Only thing they sold was, they sold some cotton. And the cotton gave them enough funds just to buy some other things that they needed. So this was very interesting to these foreign newspaper reporters, and they interviewed them. And they said, well, why don't you keep electricity? And he said, the man said, because that would just create another headache. There's load setting, then you'd have to have more money to pay for the electricity. So I don't want to keep electricity, right? Well then, why don't you sell your extra subsidies? Why do you just leave it in the field? He said, because we grew more than we can eat, and there's so many other people that don't have things, so we let them take it. And they're happy with us, and we're happy to give them. So here's an example of some persons that are living with a little bit of land. Oh, and they said, we don't get lonely because we have so many animals. We have a cow, and we have a bull, and they keep us company, even though we don't have children around us. We're happy with our animals. So here's a perfect example. They're not even devotees, but that's what Prabhupada wanted, and they're happy. They're living, they get what they need from the land. But who's ready to do that? Right?
Would you understand, they are devotees of different kind, like some devotees, they are in mode of goodness, but then there are devotees who are in other modes also. So, if I will come down to this, that can't we encourage some devotees, like say, those who might be interested into politics, can't they be encouraged to go into that direction?
Well, again, it's a matter of, you know, like I said before, you can go for the big fish, but don't get wet. You can try to do something innovative for spreading Krishna consciousness, but don't get affected by the consciousness of those persons you're interacting with. And that, you know, you have to, if you have a fever, you have to be able to take your temperature and know how to control it. The fever is materialistic hankerings, materialistic life. So you can try and do something like that, but then the essence is to be Krishna conscious. Don't, Rupa Goswami says, engage in mundane activities that are difficult to achieve. Prayasa. Difficult, something very difficult, and you sacrifice your Krishna consciousness to do it, that's not a very good idea. But then there's no prohibition, also. Someone can become the emperor of the whole world and be Krishna conscious also, like Maharaj Ambarish. Right? And but he always was Sabai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. His mind never left from the lotus feet of the Lord. So if you can do that, then okay, be emperor of the whole world. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, some reporter, why don't you run for president? And Prabhupada said, no, you run for president, and I will advise you. Any other questions? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bol.